Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Things That Matter with Marty McNabb. So as many of you who've been paying attention lately, you are quite well aware of the fact that I absolutely adore the stories that get attached to things. I have been hosting story sharing gatherings called Show and Tales or Things That Matter for over a decade. I think we're up to about 225 events. Mostly they started in person in New York City, in Brooklyn, as a matter of fact. And then it's traveled because the guest today and I have similar experience. It's done traveling, show up, pop-up show and tales around the country, Pittsburgh, Austin, Los Angeles, Florida, you know, a bunch of places so far. I can't list them off my head. But what I, again, after 225 plus of these events, I have never tired from hearing the stories of the things that matter. And I've learned so much about myself and about the people who share their stories, because in sharing your stories, you're so generous to and vulnerable when you share stories. And so it gives you this little peek into people's lives. So I am delighted today to have my guests, Beth and Marsha, who aka two grannies on the road, and give a little background about how I met Beth. So as you probably know by now, I live part-time in a camper van named Brooklyn. And she's right now in Vermont, right parked in my mom's basement. I mean, basement, in her parking lot, here in the driveway. I'm in the basement, but she's not in the basement. And I have connected to a community called Location Indie. And I know I've spoken to you about that as well, because several of my guests have been members of Location Indie. Well, Location Indie has done a couple of camps called Camp Indie. And this has taken place in Kent, Connecticut at Camp Getaway. And it has, and this year I had the great pleasure of meeting Beth, who showed up in her little van with two grannies on the road. And I said, oh my goodness, it's wonderful to connect with quote unquote women of a certain age. I had thought originally a couple of years ago that I was gonna be the only older person. There was one other, but this year we had a nice showing of people in their 50s, 60s, 70s. Like I was not alone. There was many, and Beth was one. And not only that, she has this energy and warmth and she's doing this similar thing, going around the country, telling stories. So I was, when we talked at camp, there were so many things going on, but when we talked at camp, I was like, I know I need to have you on my show. I need to follow your YouTube channel and I need to get to know more about you. I had not had the pleasure of meeting Marsha yet, but today we get a chance to meet Marsha. And I would love to start us, kick this off by having whoever wants to start show an object, a thing that matters, and tell its story. So whoever wants to take it away, Marsha, you want to start? Okay. You will.
Let me just see. No, I think I will hold it. Maybe I'll just sit and hold it. I think I can. I was going to put it in the chair. Anyway, this is a lamp I made. And it represents the sand, the water, and the sky. That's what you can pretty well see. But there's a little lobster claw sticking out. And this happened quite a few years ago. We had a super low tide, full moon, and we were down at the beach, a group of us. My grandchildren, and they were pretty small at the time. We were walking the sandbar. And our sandbar is usually very clean. We don't find anything. And I saw this tire. I said, where did that come from? So I went to try to pick it up. And as I did, this claw comes out of it. And there was this lobster in it. Now, I usually do not have what I had that day, which was a net with a, it's a chair to sit in. It's got a little net in it. And I'm in my bare feet, as usual. And I'm going, okay, how am I going to get this lobster out? I had called over everybody, and they were all looking up the lobster. And, oh, everybody just whirled back up in the tire. If it had not stuck its claw out, I don't think I would have even known it was there. I would have been upset about the tire. Some young boy was fishing, had boots and a knife. And he came up and was able to get it and throw it in my net. And I ran it up our cliff and took lots of pictures with everybody. And then I decided, okay, now what do I do with it? So I it was probably about a 4-pounder.
Oh.
And I enjoyed every little bite of it. And I saved the claw and then I made a representation of it on my lamp.
Oh.
So that's my story of this lamp.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that, Marcia. That is so amazing. That was the first thing that I noticed was that. So you actually made the whole, like.
You know, the one thing I forgot to tell you, this is a big gourd.
Oh.
And I work with gourds sometimes. And so I made it with a gourd. When Beth tapped it, I said, uh-oh, I didn't even tell him what I made it out of. But it is a gourd. Yeah.
I didn't, it kind of looks like one, but I was just sort of like so you do ceramic and, you know, no, it's like, oh, it's a gourd. Now it makes even more sense, but it's just beautiful, Marcia.
Well, I know it's unique.
Yes. It is definitely a, what do they call that? A conversation piece.
Yes, it is. When you walk in my living room to see a claw, you know.
And it includes the story of your time at the beach, and your.
I have never ever seen a lobster, and I've been going there my whole life.
Yeah.
And it had to be a super low tide. We were not able to get the tire out. I've never seen the tire again because it was eating the sand.
Right.
We didn't have a shovel or anything to help us get it out, but I've never seen it again. We did have a super low tide just the last couple of days. And of course I was out there again.
Yeah. Oh, it's a special place, and it's a special place with your grandchildren.
And it's right? Our whole family.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you for sharing, letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay, and now Beth, what did you bring to show and tell?
Well, first of all, thank you for having us today. This is a lot of fun. I love meeting you and hearing your story as well. So I have a little set of, I guess they're not ceramic, I guess. It's a cat, a Siamese cat with three kittens and a little mouse. And I have them here, but they don't show very well on the screen. So I took a picture, which
That's
I think
great.
Shows a little
oh,
better.
Yes. It shows very
and
well.
The story behind this is that I grew up in Ohio. I was the fifth of six children. And so we didn't take a lot of extravagant vacations. My father was a tool and die maker, and my mother was a homemaker. But we did some trips that are very memorable. And this one trip, we went to a place called Put-in Bay, and it's an island in Lake Erie. And it's only probably an hour from our house, but you go out on a ferry to this little island, and it's kind of a touristy destination. They have caves there where you can see, you know, stalactites and stalagmites, and they have a winery and all this fun stuff. And so we went there one weekend and we had a blast. And my mother let me buy, or I guess she bought me this little set of kittens. And first of all, I love cats and I love Siamese cats. The first cat I ever had was a Siamese cat, which was way after this. But I saw this and I just loved it. And it always reminds me, you know, this little set is sitting on my shelf in the living room. And it just reminds me of this wonderful time that we had as a family on one of our probably few vacations, but it was a really fun time. And I remember it fondly. Now that's my story and I'm sticking to it. You're muted, Marty.
Oh, I love you, Beth. Of course, the situation would have it that our handyman is here again right now in the basement. So I'm switching on and off because we've had some flooding, as you know. So I'm switching on and off to mute and unmute. So hopefully that doesn't, you don't hear that. But anyway, life happens and things need to get fixed.
Sure does.
Yes. So, but I love that. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. That's why I was like, that's why I was like, I love you, Beth. And I love that, you know, it seems that obviously from a bit of watching your YouTube channel, which we'll get to next, and Two Grannies on the Road, it, and then these stories, it's made me very aware of the fact that family is super important to you, and that, you know, in essence, traveling is as well. So even if it's just traveling down to your special sandbar, or to something that's only an hour away, that you know, exploring is important to you, and family and connections and relationships. And I think that's where we really resonated, was that I felt like, you know, what I'm building with Show and Tales or Things That Matter is, you know, a sense of trying to build a deeper sense of connections and community and legacy. And all of these, in a lot of ways, are legacy pieces. So I'm certainly hopeful that your family, your children and your grandchildren know these stories as well. I always ask about that. And, you know, I'm just curious, this is one thing that I'm dropping in, quote unquote, as a surprise with my guests, is this one final question. And is, have you considered where you want these things to go when you're gone?
You start. Because she's older, so she should start before some, you know.
Yeah, this young guy. Because
she's so old.
I love your back and forth. So, Marcia.
I'm going to suggest it. Just stay in the farmhouse is where I live. And that would be my suggestion.
Yeah. And do your kids know and your grandkids know the story?
Oh, they were there.
They were there, so, and they know.
Yes,
right.
Yes, they know awesome. The story. They were part of it. So yes.
Awesome. Yeah.
I would be handing it down. First of all, I'm not sure which one would really want it.
Right.
Second of all, I don't think I would pick one out of the group. So I would suggest it just stay in the house.
In the house, yeah. If the house is going to be the thing that's passed down, then it can be just a part in, you know, be grandmother's, you know, funky, unique lamp, you know, that we all have a relationship to. So that's wonderful. And how about you?
You've been going to that house since you were a kid, right?
Oh, yes. My whole life.
Really?
Yes. So,
right.
And that's a long story. But anyhow, yes, I have.
Wow.
So I've been a special place for my whole family.
Yep.
And it continues, it's continuing down now for my kids, now my grandchildren. I don't know how long, but it is a very special place for all of us.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Really wonderful. And Beth, how about you?
Well, you know, my kids really haven't shown very much interest in family history or any of that stuff. But it's funny because before my mother passed away, she labeled everything in the house.
Really?
You know, this is for Beth, this is for John, this is for Shirley. Everything was labeled. You know, wow. The grandkids, everything had a label. I couldn't believe it. She wow. knew where everything was going. And I don't know if I'll be like that, but I do hope that one of my children, you know, holds on to this. And I think I'll make a point next time we're together of pointing out that this isn't just something for dust on my shelf, that it has meaning.
Yeah.
And I have to say that I think since it does have meaning, and maybe I keep thinking of one of your granddaughters or somebody might, now I'm being sexist, but you know, that might be drawn to cats. Right. Is important. One year, my grandparents lived out in Indiana, and for one Christmas, they sent us gifts that they wanted us to have, and they had picked out certain things for each one of us, the grandchildren. And my dad was smart enough not to give it to us at Christmas, wait till January, because it would have been not, you know, I got a quilt, I had a bell collection, some bells and different things that I had, my grandmother had made. I treasure those. And we really enjoyed them in the middle of January because we didn't think about getting gifts. That wasn't part of the culture then. Christmas, birthday, that was it. So it was really, and I still have the things she gave me, which is, I think, probably all of us.
Yeah.
You do.
That also reminds me, in fact, I did something recently, and I think you inspired it. I had a little owl, which I can't show you because I don't have it anymore. Gave it to my granddaughter, but it was an owl that was the Russian doll within a doll within a doll. You know how that is? There's a little one in the middle.
Yep.
And that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my two oldest granddaughters played with that a lot when they were kids. And I've had it sitting on my bureau, and my oldest granddaughter is going off to college in the fall. And I gave the owl to her as a graduation gift. And I reminded her of the story and said, I hope you take this to school and keep it on your desk as a reminder of, you know, the things adventures we had when you were a kid. And she loved it.
Oh, I bet. Oh my God, that is so wonderful. And what I love about both of your stories is that you said that your mom, you know, ended up dividing everything. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah.
And then you said your grandparents ended up dividing things and sending. And what you just mentioned at the end, Beth, about making sure that the kids and grandkids know the story of those cats, because as I've worked in the personal history field for 30 years, personal history, legacy, artistry, I'm a legacy artist. And the challenge is so many people say, oh, my kids aren't going to want this. My kids aren't going to want that. My kids aren't, like, they just kind of look at all, you know, around the room and they're like, my kids don't. And it's like, they definitely don't want it if it's just stuff, like you said. If it's just something to dust, but if it is something that actually has a story and they know it, and you've told them, like that nesting dolls and things like that, and your cats, your Siamese cats, and you know, yours was obviously known by the family already, Marcia, with the lamp. But if they know the story, then they'll want it. Or at least they'll take a photo of it. Like, you know, if they don't hold on to everything, you know, they just can't, because more and more people are thinking, I want adventures, I don't want stuff. And the more stuff you have, the more space you need. And, you know, we were just with Location Indy. So everybody's like, what do you do with all this stuff? So, you know, and if you don't have a farmhouse that you can pass down to kids and, you know, that can keep stuff in it, then the point is there's different ways to save the story, but they're not going to want the stuff without the stories. It's the stories that really matter. And so I'm glad that you were inspired by me, Beth, to consider that as well. So This has been a delightful, really delightful show and tell section of this episode. And now I need to ask, because everybody's heard so far about Two Grannies on the Road, so we now really need to know where the inspiration, how did it start? How did it come into your mind and, you know, and continue to inspire you to move forward and take this opportunity to share with my listeners and my watchers stuff about your wonderful show that I've had the pleasure of watching several episodes so far. So take it away.
Well, actually, it started in 2010. And at that point, I had been in business for myself as a web designer for 8 years. My youngest son was getting ready to graduate from college. I was single at the time, and I was kind of having a pity party for myself because I hadn't had a vacation in 8 years. Because when you're in your own business, you don't just, you know, you're your own worst boss. And so then I realized that I had a business that I could do from anywhere. And so why couldn't I think of a way to travel and play? You know, I'd always wanted to take the kids across country in an RV, and it never happened, you know? And so I thought, well, I can travel. And so what if I found a way to combine, you know, work and travel? And while I wouldn't want to travel alone, you know, who should I do it with? And I thought of a friend of mine who was a graphic designer, so she could also work from anywhere. She was also single. She was a lot of fun. We had great fun together. And then the name just came to me, Two Grannies on the Road. And so I started do websites across the country as we went at campgrounds, marketing seminars on how to combine online and offline marketing to grow your business, you know, do camp cooking shows. And I called my friend Ginny and started telling her my idea, and her eyes got bigger and bigger and bigger, and she said, I'm in. And so she created the logo, I created a website, we started talking to people about it. We wanted to get some big sponsorships, like have Winnebago give us an RV to use and things like that. And we had a whole cross-country trip travel, go in the winter, leave New England, go down to Florida and go straight west. So everybody that we talked to loved our ideas. We did a bunch of proposals for sponsorships. Nobody knew who we were, and nobody gave us any sponsorships. So we kind of fumbled around for a while, and we thought, well, you know, what could we do locally? And I thought, well, you know, you can do a community TV show basically for free, and that would get the word out about what we're doing. And we started realizing that a lot of our friends were our age, baby boomers. They were either getting laid off from corporate jobs they'd had for 40 years before they were ready to retire, didn't want to retire, couldn't afford to retire,
right?
Or they were retiring willfully and wanted to do what was next, but didn't know how to do it.
Right.
So we started this TV show, and we interviewed baby boomers who had reinvented themselves. And we wanted to tell their stories to inspire other baby boomers to live their dreams. So we started doing the show, and there was always a travel segment of it, like, you know, road, you know, on the road section, road trip section. And then just over the years, it kind of evolved into more travel. And Ginny retired a while back, I think 2018. She retired from her business and Two Grannies on the Road. And I did a few shows with guest grannies. And then one of the guest grannies decided that she was going to be the full-time second granny. So she was the second granny. And we decided that we would visit every city and town in Massachusetts. Because you know what? Travel, even if it's only a couple hours away, is still travel.
Exactly.
It was still having adventures and meeting people and having a blast. Right. So that's when we started our quest. It got a little bit interrupted by COVID. But we started doing that. And then a year ago, last Easter, she said to me that she was going to move to Florida to be near her daughter.
Oh, yes.
So there she went. So then about a month later, I was at a luncheon with a bunch of women who just wanted to get out and socialize. And one of them was Marsha.
Yay.
And someone said, Beth, you got to tell Marcia about Two Grannies on the Road. So I started telling her about it, and she said, that's right up my alley.
Yay.
And I'm like, oh, okay.
Didn't take much convincing.
No,
not,
no.
Not at all.
But I do worry that there were two before me, and I've never seen them.
Oh.
I've heard about them. And I'm a little concerned that there might be a fourth granny coming up, second granny. She's offered to show me her freezer. I haven't done that yet.
She is kind of old, so you don't know.
Oh, I love it. I love your, what would you call it? Your banter back and forth, you know, it's really amazing because you actually are the first. I did have one show of Things That Matter with six people.
Oh, wow.
Doing a retreat. And so we did, you know, I was like, I don't usually do that, but they were on different cameras, right? They were in their own places on different cameras. So I did that once. So I've never done two people. Well, no, that's not true. You're a husband and wife, but you know, that they have to, like, a husband and wife who travel the country. You met Helen and Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Are my guests from Camp Indy. So anyway, but I've never had two independent people like on the same screen, you know, with the banter back and forth. So you're great at it. You're fantastic. So I love the fact
that right. We can rank each other.
And I love the fact that, I mean, it ties in so well with the Show and Tales as well. Both of yours in that traveling doesn't mean it has to be far away. So, and needless to say, as business owners, both you and I, as far as getting sponsorships, again, you would think it would be, you're not asking for, you know, $1 million per se, but, you know, you're asking for certain things, you know, like maybe not give you an RV, but let you rent, you know, give you free rental for a couple of months or something. We're not looking for these big things, but it's too bad that the bigger corporations haven't caught on to the fact that it's the smaller groups that can build deeper loyalty and name recognition and brand awareness and care and all of that kind of stuff, you know, from these smaller operations like ours.
That's changed a lot too, since, I mean, I started in 2010, nobody was traveling and working. Now it's the thing. It's like, you know, RV life is a thing. So I think I was ahead of my time. And now it's also different because we have a pretty big following on social media. And so that makes a difference as well. So we are starting to get some help with some things. All Town yes. Fresh is paying our gas for 3 months.
Yay!
That's a big
right.
deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a big deal. And, you know, it's just these small things as well that you can, you know, figure out. So, all right, I'm just going to try to like zone, you know, zen about this situation right now. Hopefully you can't hear it. And hopefully
no, you can't. Okay. No.
Good. Okay. So my next question then is, because I think that this is fabulous. I think that, you know, what you're doing is fabulous. And I think it's so, like, I think it's so important to encourage people to realize that going just small, like just short visits, like to different, like just in your driving sphere, you know, within a couple of hours, what you can see and what you can experience that close to home, you know? And so I think I love that idea. And, you know, it's like mostly Massachusetts, correct? Is that where you're focused now? But I can see you moving out to other New England towns, you know, other New England states as well. So
there are 351 of them in Massachusetts. And Mass is an interesting state as far as I'm concerned, because we have everything. We have the ocean, We have the mountains, we have towns, we have, you know, large cities, and
a long history.
A long history.
Very.
Historically, every town has something to share or tell with us.
Yeah.
So there are a lot just in Mass, and it's amazing what we find.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It really is. And it, in thinking about this episode, I was thinking, there are all kinds of so one of the things that I say consistently is that what are museums are historical societies, but great big show and tales. That
yeah.
There's a thing and it's got a story, you know, and,
right.
And things together tell, you know, and like you said, Massachusetts has, you know, long history in the United States, in New England has a, you know, really, you know, Vermont, you know, it's like, has a real old history here. Like it was, you know, they were colonies here well before, you know, the United States as we know it existed. Yeah. So, you know, there's just tons of history. So it's great.
And the way we find our history is not through the, well, it is through the internet, but we don't go online and saying we're going to Plymouth. We go to a forum and ask the community what they think is historical, restaurants, two or three things they think is special about their town. And of course, where can you get ice cream? We learn from the community, and they can come up with some really special things that people are not aware of their community. And sometimes they're in their own town are not aware of it.
Right.
So that is, I think that's very unique.
It is very unique. Yeah. So I was just thinking, you know, as we both move forward in our development, our growth of our brands of, you know, show and tales and things that matter and Two Grannies on the Road, I'm thinking maybe I can sponsor a segment, and it's basically where you go to a historical society or a museum and you ask someone there, what is the one thing from that town that would tell the best story about the town? And then you have them hold up the object or point to the object or whatever and tell that specific story of that one thing, and be like a little Things That Matter sponsor, like little snippet that we can add to that. And, you know, because these small museums and historical societies are always looking for marketing, you know, to market their place. And my feeling, another thing I say is the best way to connect your community with your collection is with theirs.
Good idea.
Because we do go to the historic, as long as they have a historic society. If we don't, we try to find the historian in the town.
Right. Or historic house or
that we do. And you, yes.
Museum.
That, yeah.
Or a tavern. Yeah. My favorite thing is finding those taverns, you know, like old taverns that have been around. We've got one here from early 1800s. My mother's house was built in 1820. Turned 200 years old. So no wonder we have a little water in the basement. We didn't have these kinds of
What is your basement? Is it stone?
It is. Most sides are stone, and then it looks like they reinforced with concrete blocks as it aged, you know.
Oh.
That's where it started coming in, the flooding here. So that will say a lot about this episode, is it was filmed during the you know, state of emergency in the state of Vermont, sadly, you know. So anyway, and the idea of show and tales actually, or this Things That Matter, this show started during the pandemic as well. It was just like, okay, you know, now's the time. So it's like all these like bookends to an extent. So anyway, this So now, without further ado, please let my listeners and watchers know how they can find you and more and learn more about you as far as specific, your social media, your, I know you have YouTube, any of that kind of stuff. Take this opportunity to share that. And it will be in the show notes too.
Okay, great. Well, our website is twogrannysontheroad.com. It's T-W-O spelled out. The same with YouTube, youtube.com/twogrannysontheroad, facebook.com/twogrannysontheroad. And on Instagram, our handle is the number two grannies. So instagram.com/number2grannies.
Very cool. I love it. I love it. So please, everyone, check out Beth and Marcia and the other grannies from the way past. You'll have to go back a ways to find that. But I wish you all the best. And I hope that our paths cross many times in the future, even like meeting up. Like, we should look at what your schedule is, and if there's some time, because I'm on the East Coast for the next couple of months, and if there's some time that you're coming to an area that's not that far of a drive for me, Brooklyn, the RV, could meet up with two grannies on the road, and we could, you know, do something together. Who knows what? So there's so many possibilities. Yeah,
that sounds like a good, that'd be kind of fun.
Right?
Idea. Yeah. Maybe we go somewhere and have people, we'll go to a historic.
Yes.
Do, and have you come along and favor and us. I don't know. I'm making it up while I'm talking to you.
Yes. So I love that. I love that. I definitely would love to continue that conversation, because I think that there are some great collaborations, more than just this and other things that we've got a nice future to look forward to. So I am so grateful to both of you for coming again to record this. I wish you a great day. In closing, I just wanted to thank all my look and listeners for joining us today for this episode of Things That Matter with Marty McNabb. I wanted to encourage you to check out, if you'd like to come to one of my virtual events, please check out my events page on my website, showandtales.com. And also, if you're looking to build deeper connections, community, and legacy with your family, with your friends, with your community, your church, synagogue, or nonprofit or for-profit, please reach out to me about having me host a show and tell, a story sharing gathering for your community and your friends. So without further ado, I want to thank everyone for joining us today. And I especially thank Beth and Marcia for joining us.
Thank you, Marty. Good to see you.
Great to meet you, Marcia.
Thank you. You too.